We're up to Torah Pei Vav in Likutei Moran Tanina. This chapter is short. Hopefully tonight's shiur is going to cover the entire chapter, plus one or two interesting items that come from outside the Likutei Moran that are going to shed even more light on this chapter. And it's very fundamental. It's very, very important to help a person have a foundation in Yiddishkeit, what we're going to discuss here. Rabbi Nezal says, Da, you should know, Shal yidei she'ha'olam hem mikatnei amona, al kein hem tzrichim letainis, dehainu avoidos koshos. Rabbi Nezal says you should know that it's due to the fact that people are short on emuna, they're lacking in emuna, lacking in faith. Because of this, they have to come on to fasting, and which fasting represents all types of difficult avodos, difficult items to serve Hashem. It's due to a lack of faith, a lack of faith. Ki bevadai yodua, because Rabbi Nezal says, it's definitely known, she'efshir la'avod Hashem yisporach b'chol dovor, that a Jew can serve Hashem with everything. A Jew can serve Hashem with eating, with sleeping, with walking, with talking, with being silent, with looking at something, with not looking at something. We know that there are many thousands, millions of different ways to serve Hashem. And some of them could be very easy. Sometimes a person has a test, something appears before his eyes that a Jew is not supposed to look at, and the person just gently turns his eyes an inch away from that item, and he's accomplished a major mitzvah. Or sometimes a person has an opportunity to look at something, the Sefer Torah is being lifted up in the shul, and just stretching himself a drop to look at the letters at that time is the kiyum of a mitzvah. Or the Sefer Torah is being brought out from the Heichal and brought to its place on the Shulchan. A person goes over and kisses the Sefer Torah. That simple act is a mitzvah of Kovarat Torah. So Rabbi Nezal says, it's certainly known that it's possible to serve Hashem with everything. Ki ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu bo b'trunyam b'yosav. Because Hashem does not look to make things difficult on Bnei Yisrael. Hashem is not looking to throw any impossible tests on the Jews. Ach, however, mashetzrichim lefomim lavoides koshos. This that we find, that at times a yid is required to struggle, to do difficult things in serving Hashem, hu bebechinas ma sheomrazal, this corresponds to a statement in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, where the Gemara says, bishas shmad afilu aarkeso demesani yehoreg val yavar. The Gemara over there in Sanhedrin discusses the fact that if ever, in other words, normally, under normal circumstances, whether a Jew wears black shoelaces or brown shoelaces or something like that is of no consequence to us. It doesn't matter. However, the Gemara says that if there is, chas v'shalom, a time of shmad, where the goyim decide to make a major project, a major mission, out of converting the Jews, they're looking to pull the Jews to their side. The Gemara says, in a case like that, if a goy tells you to change your shoelaces, let's say the goyim wear specifically certain colored shoelaces, and the Jews wear black shoelaces, and a goy would tell you, I want you to change your color shoelaces to our color, the Gemara says, even for that, Yehoreg val yavar, a Jew should be willing to let himself be killed rather than to do it. Why? Normally, this isn't such a serious problem, but because it's a time of shmad, because of the fact that shmad is prevalent in the air at the time, that they're going out converting Jews, and chas v'shalom, it's possible that you're conforming to them, you're putting on the same type of shoelace as them at this time, could be misconstrued or could be construed as if you're giving in to them, as if you're joining them, and other Jews will see it, and could be this will weaken their emunah. The Gemara says, Yehoreg val yavar, that normally we say there are only three sins for which a Jew is required to give up his life rather than to commit those sins. Those are Avodah Zorah, Gilui Arayos, and Shfichas Domim, idol worship, adultery, and murder. If a Jew is told, kill him, otherwise I'll kill you, the answer is, you have to kill me. The reason being, because I don't know that I'm any better in Hashem's eyes than he is. I don't know that if Hashem is going to be better off with me alive and him dead, rather than the opposite way. So therefore, I have no right to kill somebody else to save my own life. The same thing is with Gilui Arayis, the same thing is with Avodah Zorah. However, B'Shas Hashmad, the whole picture changes. If there's conversions going on, if the goyim are going big on this type of item, the rules of the game change completely. So Rabbi Nazal says, the Gemara says over there, B'shas Hashmad, afilu a'arkas ha'demesani, even regarding a shoelace, yehoreg val yavler, a Jew should be willing to let himself be killed rather than to go to be over to change the way of a Jew. Nimtza, what do we see from this Gemara? Why does the Gemara make a point of telling us that? Rabbi Nazal explains, She'af she'be'emes ein roi she'yehorig al zeh, even though, normally, it's ridiculous to say a Jew should let himself be killed regarding what kind of shoelace he's going to wear, ach machmas shehu shas shmad, it's only because of the fact that it's a time of shmad, and the emuna of the Jews is being threatened, it's being weakened, therefore vehem mizgabrim, and the goyim are being mizgaber, v'roitzim daiko lahaviroi aladas, and they're looking to change a Jew's faith, ulahavioi likfiris chas v'sholem, they're looking to bring the Jew not to believe in Hashem, al kein hum muchroch limsar nafshoi afilu al dovor kal. Therefore, in such a case, the Jew has to be willing to give up his life even for a simple thing, even for a lighter type of avera, a lighter type of item. V'ha'avoyde zoro v'ha'kfirus heim bebechinas af ein yesh ruach bohem. These items, idol worship, or kfira, atheism, they are a concept of af ein yesh ruach bohem. There's nothing to it. There's no substance to those items at all. They're really nothing. She'ein bohem shum ruach klal. They have no real spirit of life in them whatsoever. They're dead. They're nothing. They're not really alive. V'hakatnei emuno heim bebechi. So that's idol worship, atheism. Idol worship and atheism have no ruach in them at all whatsoever, which implies that when a person's emunah is bishleimus, when a Jew does believe in Hashem, true faith in Hashem is something which is very much alive. It's a living item. It's a true item. It's something that's full of ruach. It's full of ruach. If avodah zarah and kfira represents something af ein yesh ruach bohem, there's no ruach in it, then belief in Hashem is something which does have a ruach. Rabbi Nazal says now, v'haktanei emuna, and those people that are weak in emuna, not that they have no emuna at all, but they're weak in emuna, their emuna is small, hein bebechinas mikoitzer ruach. We describe them as being short of breath. If we classify emuna as life, Rabbi Nazal begins a certain chapter in the Likutei Moran by saying, mi sheyesh loy emuna chayov chayim. A Jew who believes, that person's life is considered living, is worth living. That person's called alive. And a person who doesn't believe, for all intents and purposes, he's dead. Because even if he's eating and sleeping and walking and talking, it's nothing. It's not going anywhere. If he doesn't believe that there's any future in this, then he might as well be dead now. His eating is meaningless and every act he does is meaningless since it's going to go nowhere. It's going to end up nowhere. So therefore, emuna is called being alive, ruach chaim. Absence of emuna is called ein yesh ruach bohem, no ruach, dead. Shortness in emuna, if a person is weak in emuna, it's compared to mikoitzer ruach, person that's short of breath, he's gasping for air, like that type of thing. Shehu kemoi memutza, it's something in between. Dehainu she'ein lohem emuna shlema, these people don't have complete faith. Shehi bechinas ma'arich ruchoi, which kemuva b'mokom acher. When a person has real complete faith in Hashem, that's called arichas apayim. Rabbi Nazal has a chapter in the first half of Likutei Moran, I believe it's Torah Kufnun Hei, where Rabbi Nazal there discusses the fact that when a person really believes in Hashem, such a person is able to have patience and tolerance. Such a person, even when things aren't going that well for them, you get a person that doesn't believe the minute something goes wrong in their life, rah, rah, they want to kill, they want to jump off, or whatever they want to do. They're quick to react, that kind of thing. Whereas, if a person believes and knows what to believe in, etc., believes in Hashem, believes in Tzaddikim, believes that nothing happens to a person without a reason, and believes everything they're supposed to believe, such a person has arichas apayim. Such a person has patience and tolerance. When they see things seem to be going not their way, he knows there must be a reason for it, and hopefully tomorrow will be better. He's optimistic always. He takes the right outlook on life. And when things are going good for him, certainly he's thankful to Hashem. There's this arichas apayim. Rabbi Nassal over there gives a long, an elaborate description of the connection between emunah and arichas apayim. But here Rabbi Nassal is just showing the three different stages. Long breath, is this drawn out breath, shortness of breath, and no breath at all, no ruach at all. V'afal pikein einam koifrim lagamri. And these people who are miktanei emunah, still, they're not complete atheists, shein lohem shum ruach klal, type of people who we say have no ruach at all, rakhem kemoi memutza. They're considered to be somewhere in between, v'rucham k'tzara. And their ruach is short. They're lacking, they're weak on ruach. Bebechinas mikoitzer ruach. They're suffering from a shortness of ruach. Vezehu, Rabbi Nazal says, this is what's being referred to in a pasuk in Chumash. When Moshe Rabbeinu went to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim, and the Torah over there says that they were suffering from mikoitzer ruach umeavoida kosher. They were going through hard labor and shortness of breath. Rabbi Nazal says, "Vezehu mikoitzer ruach umeavoida kosher." Shemachma shehem bebechinas koitzer ruach, because of the fact that the Yidden were short on ruach, meaning shehem ktanei emuna kanal, because they're weak in emuna, their emuna is weak at this point in time. Al yidei ze tzrichen la'avoidois koshois ulatanesim kanal. That's what forces them to have to come on to difficult items in order to serve Hashem. This concept of avoidos, note the pasuk puts these two things together, koitzer ruach and avoida kosher, that as a result of a person finding himself in that state which is called koitzer ruach, which means miktanei emunah, he's weak in emunah, as a result of that, he's forced to come on to avoida kosher. He's forced to do hard labor. His service of Hashem cannot be in easy mode, easygoing. He's forced to undergo difficulties in serving Hashem. Kemoi shebishas hashmad, just as in the case that the Gemara gives us, just as during a time of shmad, what is shmad? Shmad means weakening of faith. Shmad is the opposite of emunah. Kemoi shebishas hashmad shehu kilkul emunah legamri, which represents the complete destruction of faith. Conversion, converting chas v'shalom to a different religion, that represents completely obliterating the emunah hakdosha. Afilu tzrichen afilu limser nafsham mamish afilu al dover kal. A person has to be willing to give up his life even for a small item. Kemoikein, so too, kisheyesh katnus upegam be'emuna, when a Jew finds himself short and lacking in emuna, tzrichen la'asois avoidois koshois kanal. The person will find that they have to go through difficult avoidois. They have to go through fasts, and they have to go through other types of sigufim, pain and suffering, in order to serve Hashem. It doesn't come easy to them. Rabbi Nazal says now, v'yesh kama b'chinois b'katnei emunah. There are many, many different types of shortness in faith, being lacking in faith. Ki yesh afilu tzadikim shehem ktanei emunah. There are even tzadikim that are lacking in emunah. What do we mean? They don't believe in Hashem? They don't believe in the Torah? They don't believe that the Torah is the word of Hashem? They don't believe in previous tzaddikim? No. Rabbi Nazal says, "Kama shidor shrazal," as the Gemara says in Soito, al posuk mi bo, ki mi boz liyom katnus. The Gemara over there says, what has caused the tzaddikim to undergo buzz, bizoyin, shame, liyoyim, in the future date, in Olam Haba, what's going to cause some of them to be lacking, where their schar, their reward in Olam Haba is not going to be 100%? The Gemara, the Pasuk says, katnus. And the Gemara darshins, mi goram let tzadikim. What is going to cause tzadikim to lose out on some portion of the reward? Katnus shebohem. A certain smallness about them, where they were lacking in self-confidence. They didn't believe in themselves. They didn't believe that every single mitzvah that they do, Hashem considers very, very important. And every single time they get up to daven to Hashem, Hashem is listening to every single word they say. And that's also called miktanei amono. That's also called being lacking in faith. A Jew is required to believe in himself. The Gemara says it's forbidden for a Jew to refer to himself as a Rosha. You're not allowed to use that word about any Jew, including yourself. Why? Because that's a lack of faith. Klal Yisrael, the Torah, and Hashem are one. And there are certain boundaries, certain lines you're not allowed to cross in being disrespectful towards Hashem, in being disrespectful towards the Torah, in being disrespectful towards any Jew, including yourself. Including yourself. This is a very, very important point that Rabbeinu Zal is making here. So Rabbeinu Zal says that Bechlal, you should know, that it's possible to serve Hashem with ease, and it's possible also to serve Hashem with great difficulty. And at times, you should know that when a person has to undergo difficulties in serving Hashem, at times it's because of a katnos in emunah. It's because of a lack of emunah. Just as the Gemara gives this example, that normally serving Hashem with your shoelaces is no big problem, no big deal. Any kind of shoelaces is okay. When there's a lack of emunah in the air, when there's shmad in the air, it's possible to be forced to serve Hashem with dying over shoelaces. To have to be put to death over such an item. That, in other words, this implies going through avoida is kosher, is going through difficult avoida. Then he brought the analogy, the pasuk in Bayitzias Mitzrayim, where again, the fact the lacking in emunah is part of what had to do with their going through such difficult avoida. Just as we find in the end, the Gemara points out, how many Jews, what percentage of the Jews was zeichet to leave Mitzrayim? 90%, 98%, 99%, 20%, 1/5. Vachamushim olu bnei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. 1/5 of the Jewish people left Mitzrayim. 4/5, 80% died during the plague of Choshech, during the plague of darkness. Why? Why? The Gemara says those that didn't believe. They didn't believe that they were going to be worthy of being taken out of Mitzrayim, that Hashem was going to take them out of Mitzrayim, that Moshe Rabbeinu was great enough at Tzaddik to take them out of Mitzrayim. They were not privileged to leave. They were forced to stay behind. So this katnus in emunah is what leads to this avoida kosher and could lead to even worse at times. This emunah alone strengthens a person tremendously, just as, for example, Rabbeinu Zal says that you should know that Bechlal, when a Jew has to travel for their parnosa, when a Jew finds that they have to travel or toil, go through tremendous difficulty in earning a livelihood, you should know that that implies a chisorin in emunah, the possibility of being lacking in faith. Why? The Gemara says that when it came to the mon, when Hashem gave the mon to the Jewish people, there were three different ways that the mon was given. Tzadikim had the mon delivered on their doorstep every single day. They didn't have to go looking for it at all, no searching for it, and they didn't even have to go far to get to it. It was right there. It was delivered right in their mailbox. The Gemara says the Beinonim, people that were sort of in between, for them, the mon came in the same location every day, but it wasn't on their doorstep. They had to walk a certain distance to the place which was designated where their portion of mon would arrive. The Rishoim, those that were Rishoim, them, the Gemara says, not only did they have to travel to get to it, but every single day it fell in a different place. So they were forced to go looking around for their parnosa, looking around for their food every day. Now the question is why? What's so special about this mon that it had this barometer on it to be able to measure tzaddik, rosha, beinoni, and that's what determined how easy or difficult it was for you to find it? We once mentioned that in one of the Breslov Sforim, the Sefer Oineg Shabbos, he discusses the item of mon, and he says, what is this magic food that the Torah discusses, that Hashem created this magical food, where a person could eat it and taste any type of taste, anything you wanted, you were able to find within this food. Let's picture having a genie or whatever it is, some kind of magic formula where you could literally enjoy, you could have any pleasure you want without having to go get it, without having to buy it, without having to have 5,000 things on your shelf. You could have one thing, and that one item could turn into 1,000 different things. What ingredient, what spiritual ingredient, could that be a physical item? Is there something in the Olam HaGashmi that could change form into 1,000 billion different forms? Baloney. Silly. The Pusuk says that Vayomru, the Yidden said, Mon hu, this, it is mon, ki lo yodu mahu, because they didn't know what it was. They didn't know what it was, so they called it mon. They said, mon hu, it is mon. The Oinik Shabbos writes that the two words, mon hu, mem nun, hey vav aleph, make up the word emuna, literally. What ingredient is there that a person could put into their lives where if a person has this, they could be eating challah, they could be eating a piece of challah and taste in it a greater measure of sweetness than lahavdil a goy could taste if he had a whole assortment of 300 different dishes on his table. The taste, the tam that a Jew who believes in Hashem and who believes in the holiness of Shabbos feels when he sits down to his table Friday night and eats that challah, he's able to feel every type of tam imaginable in that challah. Plus, he's able to feel a tam that's not even physical. You can tell it's something above the physical. It's something better than physical. That's this ingredient of emuna, which is literally synonymous with life. A person who has that is called living. And according to how weak a person's emuna is, according to how many percentage points a person's lacking in emuna, that's how much the person is lacking in feeling the full flavor of life. Note, that's why it says, they said, monhu ki lo yodu mahu, because they didn't know what it was. When you don't know something, what do? You believe in it. The whole concept of faith is in that which you don't know, you don't see, you don't understand it. That's the whole concept of faith. Faith implies I can't see, I believe in Hashem. If I could see Hashem, if I knew that Hashem was fact, there's no more faith involved. Could I say I believe that this is a table? I look at it, I see it's a table. There's no believing in it. There's nothing to believe in. I believe that there's a Hashem. Why? Because even though kaviyochel Hashem is hidden, and there exists a potential of a person denying the existence of Hashem, I believe that such a thing is there. If a Jew is zeichet to have this emuna bishleimus, that person is considered to be alive. That person's life is made so much easier. They don't have to go searching for anything. They don't have to go searching for their parnosa, searching. Everything they need is right at their fingertips. Everything they need is right there for them. They don't feel any chesaron. You have people who are constantly running around looking for something. Why? Because something's missing by them. They know that there's something missing. They don't know what it is. What's missing? The emuna is missing. Once a person is zeichet to shleimus emuna, automatically nothing is missing from them. And even avodas Hashem, even serving Hashem, can come very easily to that person. He finds it easy, no problem, no difficulty. This is the basic presentation of this chapter on Likutei Moran. Now let's cover two other things, and then we'll take questions. In the Sefer Sichoi Saran, Rabbi Nachman's Wisdom, as it's called in English, there is a paragraph that corresponds to this, that tells a story of what took place when Rabbi Nazal gave this shir with his best student. Rabbi Nosenzal writes, Rabbi Nosenzal was Rabbi Nazal's best student. He writes, Kishe Omar li inyan hanitvas belikutei tanino simen peivov, when Rabbi Nazal taught me the discussion that's written in Likutei Moran, the second half, chapter 86, al posuk mi koitzer ruach ume avoida kosher, shai de katnus emuna tzrichen la avoida is koshes, that through shortness, by being lacking in emuna, person has to come on to avoida is koshes, o madati lefonov kemishtaimim, I stood before Rabbi Nazal in shock, umachshevoisai hayu tmeim binyin zeh, and I was amazed about this. I was wondering. I was very confused about this. Ki nidmeli sheyesh li emuna ktsas. Because Rav Nosson Zal writes, I felt that I did have some emuna. Now he's writing with tremendous modesty. As he's putting it on paper, he doesn't want to say he felt that there was nobody in the world that had anywhere near as much faith as he did in Hashem, in Tzadikim, in the Torah. He was a super spectacular tzaddik, this student of Rabbeinu Zal's. So he was standing there and he couldn't understand, why is Rabbeinu Zal telling him this? Why is he giving him this whole lecture about being lacking in emuna? Ono vi omar beloshen ge'orok tzas. So he says, Rabbeinu Zal said to me in an angry tone, in a slightly angry tone, ko'imer, as if he was saying, v'im yesh l'cho emuna, ein l'cho emuna ba'atzmecha. And even if you do believe, meaning believe in Hashem, believe in the Torah, believe in tzaddikim, you don't believe in yourself. You're lacking in self-confidence. Hosti indir kein emunanit. He said it in Yiddish, you don't have faith in yourself. V'hizkir miyad, Maimar Azal, and Rabbeinu Zal immediately quoted this statement of the Gemara in Soita, Ki mi boz liyoim katnus. The Gemara quotes this pasuk in Zechariah, Mi boz liyoim katnus. That's the wording in Zechariah. And the Gemara says over there, Mi goram letzadikim, sheyizbazbeis shulchonam losid lovoi. What will cause the table of the tzaddik in the future, in Olam Haba, to be shameful, to be embarrassing, that there's going to be something missing from his table? Katnus shehoyo bohen biatzmon. A katnus that existed inside themselves. Inside themselves, regarding themselves, a katnus that they felt about themselves. Sheloi he'eminu bohen bi'atzmon. They were lacking in self-confidence. They didn't have faith in themselves. V'Rashi zal pirusham kipshutoi katnus emuna. Rashi HaKadosh over there in the Gemara simply says katnus emuna. That's the wording, the two words that Rashi uses. Avol midiktuk loshen ha'gemora shamrusham. Katnus shohoyo bohem, but if you take the literal words in the Gemara there, katnus shohoyo bohem, nire kemavur divrei Rabbeinu Zal, it seems to be relating to Rabbeinu Zal's interpretation. Sheikar katnus ho emuna shelohen hoyo bohem biatzmon. Katnus emuna bohem, a lack of faith in themselves. V'yesh lefarish lefizeh, and we can explain according to this, sheloi haminu b'hakodesh baruch hu, they didn't believe in Hashem, shehu toiv lakoil, that Hashem is good to everybody. V'heim chashuvim ugdoilim b'einav yisborach, and we also are significant to Hashem, we also are important to Hashem. V'zeh hoyo ikr katnus ho'emuna shelohem. This is the katnus ho'emuna that the Gemara over there in Masechta Soita is talking about. Ma sheloi haminu bohem bi'atzmon, that they were lacking in faith in themselves. V'haklal hamuvan midvorov. Now Rav Nosson Zal adds his own words to this, and what we can derive from this is sheha'odom tzorich sheyeloi emuna bi'atzmoi, that a Jew must have faith in himself. Shegam hu choviv be'enei Hashem yisporach. A Jew is required to believe that he is also beloved in Hashem's eyes. Ki lefi gdulas toivosoi shel Hashem yisporach, because according to how great is the goodness of Hashem, according to how much goodness Hashem has, gam hu gadol v'choshuv v'einav yisporach, I am also important and special to Hashem. Ukvar mavur inyan ze kam apomim. And Rav Nosson Zal writes, we've already explained this subject in different places. She'ein ze anovo lihiyos b'moichen dekatnus chasashon. That's not called modesty when a person goes around feeling low about himself, being down about himself, that I'm nobody, I'm not worth anything, I'm good for nothing, that kind of attitude. That's not called anova, that's not modesty. Utzrichen levakeish harbe me'ashem yisporach, a person has to ask Hashem a great deal, lizkois ledarki anova be'emes, to be zeche, to have true modesty. Because there's a very thin line between modesty, humbleness, and moichen de katnus. This wrong type of being down on yourself in a way that leads the person to fall out, that leads the person to give up on themselves, chas v'shalom. Rab Nosenzal writes, Gam achar kach besomuch achar shomar inyan hanal, shortly afterwards, this discussion took place shortly before Rosh Hashanah that year. Rab Nosenzal writes, a short time afterwards, Hegia Rosh Hashanah arrived, V'omar oz ha-Torah chodi Rabbi Shimon, Simon Samach Aleph b'chelek Aleph. And Rabbi Nosenzal that year gave the shir that appears in Likutei Moran, in the first half of Likutei Moran, chapter 61. V'shom hizkir inyan chisorin emuna bi'atzmoi. And there also Rabbi Nosenzal elaborated on this point about a person being lacking in faith in himself. Ayin shom ba'ois hei mashikosav shom. Take a look over there in paragraph 5. You'll see where Rabbi Nosenzal discusses this over there. V'yesh sheyesh aleya machloikis machmas she'en lohem emuna bi'atzmon. Rabbi Nosenzal over there discusses that there are times that a person could actually bring upon themselves machloikis from friends, from a wife, from a husband, from whoever it is. Person can draw machlekes onto themselves because the person is lacking in self-confidence. This is an important nekuda within emuna. This discussion we just had is in Sichoi Saran, Rabbi Nachman's Wisdom, paragraph Kuf Mem, 140, if anybody wants to check it. Now, for the third item, this is where we see Likutei Halachos comes in. Likutei Halachos is Rav Nosenzal's magnum opus, where he takes Rabbi Nosenzal's words in Likutei Moran, and he uses his incredibly broad knowledge of the Torah to zero in on the different instances within the Chumash, the Navi, the Gemara, wherever it is, where these items actually come into play in the stories of the Torah, so that you can get a better feeling, a closer understanding of exactly what Rabbi Nosenzal is talking about. Where's an actual application of this? We turn to Likutei Halachos, Choshen Mishpot, Chelek Sheni, and it's Hilchas Pikodoim, Halacha Hei, Ois Zayin. This will take about 10 minutes, and it's very easy Hebrew, so we'll explain it outside. You shouldn't have a problem following. We're actually starting a little bit in the middle of the paragraph, just covering the part that pertains to our chapter. Rav Nosenzal writes, Ki kol golus Mitzrayim hoyo al yidei chet odom arishon ki yodua, shepogam biyamuna kemuva. The Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that one of the major reasons why the Yidden had to go down to Mitzrayim was due to the pegam of Odom Arishon. The fact that Odom Arishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, that actually was a major cause for the Yidden having to go down to Mitzrayim, because there were certain sparks of Kedusha that fell into the hands of Tumah through the act of Adam Rishon eating from the Eitz Hadas. The Yidden had to go down to Mitzrayim to draw out of there the Va'achrechein Yetzu B'Rechush Godoil. What was this Rechush Godoil that they took out of Mitzrayim in a spiritual sense? It was sparks of Kedusha that had been dropped there, that were within the hands of the Klipos, within the hands of Tumah Mitzrayim, which the Jews had to take out of there. Now Rav Nosenzal writes, V'ikra ha-pegam hoya bebechinas emunas chachomim. Odom Arishon's main pegam was he was lacking in faith in chachomim. He didn't have emunas chachomim, emunas tzadikim. Why? Ki af al pi shehu nivra yechidi. Even though Odom Arishon was created alone, he was the only person alive at that time. V'loy hoyo oz adayin chachomim boilam. And there were not any rabbis in the world at that time. Ki im hu levadoi, other than himself. And we know the Gemara tells us he certainly was a rabbi. You know who sat in on his shir? The malachim, the angels in heaven. The Gemara says they called Odom Arishon Rebbe. He was their rabbi. Afal pikein hoyetzorech biyoyser lamunas chachomim. Odom Arishon had to have more emunas chachomim than anybody else. Meaning, dahainu lahamin biatzmoi. He was supposed to have faith in himself. Ukemavur b'hatoyra hanal, as is explained in this chapter of Likutei Moran, shekishein ma'aminim bi'atzmoi hu b'chinas pegam emunas chachomim. That when a Jew doesn't believe in himself, he lacks a certain aspect of self-confidence, that's called a pegam emunas chachomim also. V'chein mavur b'simen peivo b'likutei tanino, al pirish mikoytze ruach me'avoyda kosho. As Rabbi Nosenzal explains, in this chapter of Likutei Moran that we just learned, ki im hoyo ha'odom ma'amin biatzmoi, because if a Jew would believe in himself, Shenishmosoi gavoya ma'oid ma'oid, that my neshama is very, very great and very important. Ki afilu haneshama shel hapochiz shebi Yisrael gavoya ma'oid, because even the neshama of the lowest Jew, even the neshama of the lowest Jew, is very, very high. Uboi tluyin kol ha'olamos elyonim v'tachtonim, and to him is tied the future of all the heavenly worlds, all the upper worlds, and all the lower worlds are all plugged into each and every single individual Jew. Bevada, and if a Jew were to believe this, bevadai lo yahayoiver shum avera, there's no way in the world that such a Jew could commit a sin. If he realized how important he was and how much depends on him, the Gemara says a Yid is supposed to draw a picture in his mind as if that we suddenly took out the scales and we put all the Averos and the Mitzvos of the whole Klal Yisrael on a scale and they were perfectly balanced. 50-50, exactly. They measured exactly the same amount. And the next move that I'm going to make can either tip the scales in favor of the whole Klal Yisrael or chas v'shalom against. The next mitzvah I do, put one mitzvah on the side of positive, not only will it change my whole future, it could change the whole future, the whole Klal Yisrael. And chas v'shalom, if I do one avera, I could not just be hurting myself, my wife, my children, the people in my neighborhood, I could be actually affecting the destiny of the whole Klal Yisrael. Kol Yisrael, Arevim Zolezeh, we're all responsible. Nobody's any independent agent. Nobody's doing their own thing without affecting the whole Klal Yisrael. And a Jew would never be able to do any sin if he were conscious of this. Bifrat Odom Arishon, especially Odom Arishon, Shehoyo Yechidi, he was alone. She'etzlo Yehoyo Kol Emunas Chachomim Rak Bebechinas Zois. His whole test of Emunas Chachamim, we know that there are 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. One of the mitzvahs is, Lo Sosur Yomin Usmoil, a Jew is not allowed to deviate to the right or to the left from what the rabbis tell you. Where was Odom Arishon's application of this mitzvah? The answer is he was supposed to believe in himself. We must have faith in rabbis in all the different ways that are described in that chapter. This is in another chapter in Likud Imran. Number one, Lahamin b'tzadikim amitim. A Jew must believe in the true tzadikim. Number two, Ulahamin b'chaveroi. And a Jew must believe in his friend. A Yid must believe that every one of his friends is somebody important. Uladaber imoy b'ira shamayim, and to speak to his friends about Yiddishkeit, about religion, and to listen to what they have to say. Bebechina, says the Mishnah, says in Pirkei Avos, Oz nidbaru yirei Hashem isha reyeyu, vayakshev Hashem vayishma vayikosev b'sefer zikoroim, that when two Jews get together and they discuss faith in Hashem, there's an actual sefer written in heaven describing their words in Emunah. Imagine how significant it is if I just get together, not with a rabbi, but even with a friend, to discuss faith in Hashem, to discuss religion. Ki bekol echot miYisrael yesh nekuda toivah shubechinas tzadik. Because within each and every single Jew there is found a nekuda toivah, a pintle of good, a dot of good, where within that dot the Jew is considered a tzadik. It's a pasuk. V'amech kulam tzadikim. We say it in Pirkei Avos. The whole Jewish nation, each and every single Jew, is considered in a certain respect a tzadik. And especially, a Jew has to strengthen himself, to believe in himself. Lahamin, to believe, shegam ma'at avoidosoi ve'iskoi batoiro yokor ma'oid etzla Hashem Yisborach. That even the little bit, the little tiny bit of avoidas Hashem that I do, the little bit that I daven and the little bit that I learn is very important to Hashem. Bifrat ma'she zocho l'skariv l'tzadikim u'ksherim amitim. Certainly, if a person has been zeichet to come close to true tzadikim, or to truly religious people, ulahamin bohem, and to believe in them, sheze yokor ma'oid ma'oid etzel Hashem Yisborach. That faith is very, very special to Hashem. Hashem considers it very precious. Ki afilu im yamin b'Hashem Yisborach ubetzadikim ubechaveiro v'aksherim shekulam tzadikim. Because, Rabbeinu Zal says now, even if a Jew believes in Hashem, and he believes in tzaddikim, and he believes in his religious friends, that they're all tzaddikim, everybody's tzaddikim, aval einoy mamin biatzmoy, but the person doesn't believe in himself, meaning, dahainu, she'einoy mamin she'emunosoy she'mamin b'chachomim amitim, yokor moid moy, he doesn't believe that the faith that he has is very special to Hashem. That's considered a major mitzvah, a major accomplishment, and something that gives Hashem a lot of nachas. The fact that I believe in Hashem, the fact that I believe in the Torah, the fact that I believe in tzaddikim, the fact that I believe that the Jewish people are the chosen nation. If he doesn't believe that faith is important to Hashem, gam ze pegam emunas chachomim. That's also called a pegam in emunas chachomim. Uba'oifen echod, pegam ze gorua mehakoil. And in a certain respect, this is worse than any other type of pegam in emuna. Why? Kasher motzui nega hamispachas hazois bekama bnei odom. Rav Nosson Zal says, as we find this weed is found in many, many people. Shehim ksherim ktsas, people that are good, they're a little bit good, and they start coming close to religious people, to true people, they start coming close to true tzaddikim, but these people go around saying, oh, my friends, they're all good people, they're all tzaddikim, they're wonderful. What does it help me? I know my own weaknesses, and I know how much I'm lacking. I'm loaded with aveirois of every type. And the person leads himself into a depression, into a yerida, into a down, umisrachek legamri chasashon. And this causes him to distance himself completely from these tzaddikim that he started coming close to and everything. V'noifel me'amunas chachomim legamri. And the person falls away completely from having faith in tzaddikim, in chachomim, ad sheharbe nasu misnagdim v'cholkim al yidei zeh. To the point where we find there are many people who became misnagdim. They actually went up against tzaddikim. They went up in battle against tzaddikim, against religious people, because they were lacking in self-confidence. Because they themselves once started coming close to religion, and they didn't have the brains, they didn't have anybody to tell them, listen, buddy, even though you feel so small and everything, if you're going to walk around feeling like that, you're going to fall out. You have to strengthen yourself. You have to sell yourself that you're very important, and that your tiny mitzvah, even though this rabbi knows 6,000 pages of Gemara, and you know 6 lines, your 6 lines are just as special to Hashem as his 6,000 pages. Because you're just beginning, and Hashem gets tremendous nachas from every tiny dot of mitzvah that you do. Every drop of good that you do gives Hashem tremendous, tremendous nachas. Nimtza, shekol pegomoi ba'amunas chachomim alidei sheloihem en bi'atzmoi. So these people who end up falling away from rabbis and falling away from religion completely, so Rabbi Nezal says, through the fact that the person didn't have self-confidence, he didn't believe in himself, this ended up destroying his emunas chachomim, his emunah in the Torah. He fell out from religion completely. Kimi sheroitzel lochus al chayov, because a person who wants to take pity on his own life, a person who wants to help himself, tzorech levakesh me'Hashem yisporach, has to beg Hashem, ad sheyischazek be'munas chachomim kol kach, ad sheyamin gam bi'atzmoy. A Jew has to beg Hashem, I should be zeicher, that my emunas chachomim should be complete on all levels, even in terms of believing in myself, even in terms of the self-confidence that Hashem wants a Jew to have. Dahainu sheyamin begoidel koyach tzidkosom shel atzadikim amitiyim. He should have such trust and such confidence in the greatness of tzaddikim, ad shebevadai yisaknu gam oisoi. I believe that the power of the tzaddikim is so great that they can even fix me. They can even improve me. They can even make me into somebody special, somebody significant. V'yalu oisoi malo malo. And the tzaddikim are going to elevate me, lift me up higher and higher. Im yoichaz atzmoi liyos dovuk behem kol yimei chayev. If I'll be zeicha to attach myself and to remain attached to them my whole life. Ki emunosei bi'atzmo shemamen b'hatzadikim umeskariv aleihem, because this faith alone, this trust alone that a person, a Jew, places in tzadikim, this alone and comes close to them, this also is very, very precious to Hashem. Ki emuno hu rak bedovor she'ein mevinim b'seichel, because faith is only in something that you don't understand fully with your mind. Faith could only mean believing is only where you don't fully understand, you don't fully see. Kamei shekosu b'mokom acher, the Mekom Yisachayim, as is explained in many other places in our Sforim, v'alkein, and therefore, tzorech lahamin bi'atzmoi be'emuna, a Jew has to have faith in himself, he has to believe in himself, afal pi shelefi sichloi v'yidiyosei bi'atzmoi hu rochoik moit me'ashim isparah, even though if he wants to think about it, if he wants to rationalize, he knows he's very far from Hashem. He knows he's not good. Afal pikein tzorech lahamin be'emuna shegam ma'at hanakudah istoyves sheboi yikorim ma'oid eitz l'Hashem yisporach. Still, he's required to believe that those tiny little droplets of good that are found inside of him, those are also very, very special to Hashem. V'kasher hevanti kol ze misichosei hakodosh zechon evrocha. Rav Nosson Zal writes, as I understood very clearly from Rabbi Nazal's words, from Rabbi Nachman's words, I understood clearly how much he wanted to transmit this message to us. U'befrat odom arishon, especially odom arishon, shehoyo yechidi ba'olam, who was the only living being alive, the only man alive at the time, shekol emunas chachomim shelo yehoyo toli bo ze konal, his whole kiyum of the mitzvah of emunas chachomim was only this nekuda, having faith in himself. Ubifrat, especially, ki kol ha-pegam shel odom arishon hoyo aidei chavo ishtoi. How did the whole pegam of the Eitz Hadas come about? Through his wife Chava, shemetchilo bo hanocho sheleho ba'orma. Originally, the snake came to her with trickery. Ki hi hoiso tzricho lahamen bi odom arishon shedvor of emes. Chava was supposed to believe in Adam Arishon, that whatever he tells her is the truth, that if he tells her Hashem said not to eat from this, that's the deal, that's what we're supposed to do, we're not supposed to eat from this. Shashem yisporach tzivo shelo yilecho me'etz hadas, that Hashem commanded them not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. V'hanochosh hichnis bo ad shekofra boy, the snake crawled inside of her mind, until he convinced her not to believe Odom Arishon, not to believe in Odom Arishon. V'loi ha'amina b'dvorov, she ended up not really believing Odom Arishon's words. What do you mean? The snake pulled a whole sketch in her, he bumped her. Didn't Odom say you're not supposed to touch this tree? Odom had told her not to eat from the tree. Didn't he say not to touch it and he pushed her into the tree? You didn't die. Your husband said that if you touch this tree, you're going to die. Look, you touched it, you're alive. All baloney. Don't believe what he said. It's nothing. On the contrary, you know why Hashem doesn't want you to eat from this tree? Because he knows that if you eat from this tree, you're going to become as great as Hashem himself. Eating from this tree, v'hi'isen kelikim yoidei toivora. The Pasuk says, he's afraid, Hashem is afraid you're going to become competition for him, chas v'shom. That eating from this tree is going to make you like Hashem. V'nisiso ledivrei hanochosh. And she fell victim to the words of the snake. V'achakach gormo ad shehechnisa kfirus gam b'leiv odom rishon bi'atzmoi. To the extent where she ended up affecting Odom Arishon also. She broke his self-confidence. She broke his trust in himself. And he lost faith in himself as to how important he was and how great he was. Where he was very, very great at the time. The Gemara says he was able to see from one end of the world to the other. To the point where he finally ended up eating from the Eitz Hadas. Shemeoz nimshach zuamas hanochosh. From that time on, this filth, this poison of the snake, extends. Shemishom kol hapigomim shel adoyrois hakoidmen. That from that came forth all the sins and all the problems of the earlier generations, Dor HaMabul v'Dor HaFloga, Shemishom Nimshach Kolos Mitzrayim Kiyadua. The act of Adam Rishon eating from the Eitz Hadas is what later caused the generation of the flood to get messed up, and then the Dor HaFloga, and that resulted in the Jews going down to Mitzrayim. There's a whole connection that the Arizal gives, a whole explanation showing the connection between Adam, the Dor HaMabul, Dor HaFloga, and Mitzrayim. V'chol pegomei hadoiros hoya alidei pegam emunas chachamim. And the main sin that has troubled the Jewish people throughout generations is this sinion of pegam emunas chachamim, weakness in faith in chachamim. K'may shekosuv, as the pasuk says, lo yifne derech kromim. Don't turn to the wrong types of vineyards. And the Gemara explains that this refers to don't turn away from your leaders, from the Jewish leaders. Don't turn away from having faith and trust in the Chachamim, in the Tzadikim of Klal Yisrael. So here, Rav Nosson Zal gives us the example of Adam HaRishon. Here you have a clear-cut case where the test was to believe in himself, that what Hashem told him, what his understanding of what Hashem wanted him to do was right. And no snake and no other nuts could convince him otherwise. And the fact that there was a weakness in himself, a weakness of self-respect, a weakness of self-confidence, that's what opened the door, Rahmanul Islam, for this pigam. This is the main point that Rabbeinu Zal wants to stress in this chapter. That bechlal, katnus in emuna, results in avodas koshos. Any type of lack in emuna, whether it be lack of emuna in Hashem, in the Torah, in tzaddikim, or even if a person has emuna in Hashem, the Torah, and Tzadikim, and he doesn't have emuna in himself, he doesn't believe that every mitzvah he does is very significant, and every avera he does is a big deal. What's the big deal? Is 4-5 billion people walking around in the world. If I just do this one avera, if I just don't learn Torah for an hour, you think it's going to impress Hashem? You think Hashem has time to notice what I'm doing? That's kfira. It's kfira to think that Hashem is human, that to Hashem it's difficult to be tracking 5 billion things at a time. Now you tell this to somebody in the 1800s or 1700s, it was difficult to believe. Today, in the age of computers, we see lahavdil what a machine, what a piece of metal can do, how a piece of metal is capable of tracking thousands. You have satellites taking thousands, 10,000 pictures a second of what's going on throughout the whole world and transmitting it to computers, and it's being logged, it's being put on tapes, where you could show it in 10,000 places in the world at the same time, simultaneously, as they're photographing it, it's being shown all across the world. That's what these physical machines can do. Certainly, Hashem's limitations don't in any way compare to what these silly toy machines can do. If that's what they can do, kaviyochol Hashem can do billions, infinitely more. So for Hashem, it's no problem, no difficulty to make a whole project out of each and every single Jew in this world, and to be focusing on him and giving him complete attention from A to Z, where every single good thing that Yid does will make a tremendous splash in Shemayim, in a good way, and Chas Hashem, the tiniest pigam in Machshovo, Dibur, Amaisa is registered, and it's important, and it's significant, and it is a big deal. And if a person has this degree of self-respect, that alone can motivate a Yid a lot not to be a baby, not to waste time, not to do foolishness. Each one of us is called Bnei Malochim. The Torah refers to us as a royal people. You picture a royal prince, Prince Charles, Prince Turkey. You see them walking around in dirty clothes. You see them doing certain things in public that are silly, that are dumb. He knows he's got a certain degree of royalty. He represents a certain degree of importance, of kavod. And as such, there's certain things which even if he would want to do it, he would want to go buy an ice cream cone and just start eating it and having a drip on his pants. And this and but he can't, because he's royalty. And royalty has a certain respect. It has certain discipline, certain things you wouldn't do that some other zhlub might do, but I wouldn't do it because I'm royalty. I have self-control, I have discipline. Everything I do is held in much higher regard. If he eats an ice cream cone, he's got 5,000 cameras taking pictures, whereas if Joe Schmo on the street eats an ice cream cone, nobody cares. Nobody's watching, nobody's looking, it's no big deal. each and every single yid has to know that the cameras are all on him. And every single thing he does, good or bad, is going to be very significant. And if he'll do that, the emunah will be different, the avoid will be different, will be zeicher that the shouldn't have to be avoid as koshos. And in that zechus to get to see the coming of Moshiach, the being of Mesmitish, Mevamen, or Mevamen. Well, in the Sichas Haran that we read, we said there's a very fine line between anova, modesty, humbleness, and this type of yerida, this meichen de katnus. A person to say, I realize that I'm very small and very tiny and very insignificant, I come from dirt and I'm going back to dirt, all of those things a person has to keep in one half of their brain. And he has to know it and understand it and feel it and live it very solidly. But not to the point where it's going to cause him to fall away or to fall into a meichen de katnus, or it's going to cause him to think, well, what I do is not such a big deal. If I'm going to do this mitzvah, if I'll go ahead and learn for another 15 minutes, it's not going to make any big lights go off in Shemayim. They're not going to make any big parties up there for me. Or if I do this little Aveira, who's going to be, you know, what major effect is this going to have on the whole future of the world, the future of Klal Yisrael? A yid has to be capable of running on both tracks simultaneously. On one hand, pure anova, modesty, humble, considering yourself very low and very small and very insignificant in a certain way, and at the same time, in another way, very significant, where the whole world is hanging on me. This mushal that the Gemara gives, the scales are equally, all the millions and billions of averus and mitzvahs are all there. The next, you put a feather on one side of the scale, it's going to tip the whole scale this way. If it's just one droplet heavier on one side, it's going to tip the whole thing in that direction.
You're supposed to feel confidence in your abilities, because Hashem is making sure that...
This question, are you supposed to feel confident in your abilities? The answer is, in a certain way, definitely. For example, Rashi HaKodesh, one of the first things Rav Nosson Zal quotes in the Hagdoma to Likutei Halachos, he says, look at this set of Sforim that I wrote. He wrote a set of Likutei Halachos. It's 8 volumes. It's about 5,000 pages, like this. So he writes in the introduction, a person's going to look at this. Some people are childish. They're going to look at this, and they're going to say, forget it. There's no way in the world that I'm going to be able to learn all of this. I know I don't have it in me. I can't even read a book of 10 pages. You know, I can't even finish a book that's got 10. I'm going to finish 5,000 pages. And some of the chapters in here, you have one chapter that goes on for 70 pages. How am I going to understand 70 pages of Torah on one subject? Rav Nosson Zal says, don't be foolish. Because there's a pasuk in Mishlei where Rashi HaKodesh says over there, don't be like the fool. Don't be like the fool that looks to the end in a silly way. And he says, I'll never finish this. There's no way to finish this. Rashi HaKadosh says, be like the smart person who says two things. The smart person keys in on two points. Point number one, I'm not worried about finishing it. Today I'll do 10 lines. Tomorrow I'll do 10 lines. The next day 10 lines. And it's going to add up. It's going to add up to a large amount. That's one aspect of this self-confidence. And number two, Rashi HaKodesh says, and a person has to say, hey, hold on a second, buddy. I know there's a lot of people that did finish this already. If they did it, I could do it also. If I know that there are Talmidei Chachamim in the world that finish Shas and finish Shulchan Aruch, I don't want any yo-yo Satan selling me that I can't do it. Baloney. I don't want to hear that. I want to program myself that I can and will do it. This is the nekuda of self-confidence that we're talking about. Not to let yourself be dissuaded. You can't go this high. None of that baloney. I want to go as high as I possibly can. And if I see somebody that's this high, then it is attainable. It is reachable. Let me try to get as close to it as I can. That kind of attitude.